Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'at-Hotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, it is always wonderful to be here with you. This is, of course, another edition of our New Day Resurrection program, and of course, we indicated earlier this week that we would be doing, of course, special editions for the entire month. This being the 23-year anniversary coming up of the historic Million Woman March, certainly we are gearing up to make some very serious announcements, as well as bringing forward some of the things that we had indicated that we would be bringing forward right about now. And so with that said, we are in the process of getting prepared to issue nationwide in a very, very aggressive kind of manner what we call the Black Print 2020-25. Yep. You heard us talk about this, of course, in 2017. We said that we would, in fact, be bringing forward this great groundbreaking kind of initiative that I dare say is pretty unique and definitely very progressive. Well, 2020 is here, and as you can all kind of tell, it's not only here, it is it's kicking butt, which again is kind of what we said would happen as well. At any rate, we're going to begin bringing forward the things that we've been working on for quite a while now. And that, of course, definitely includes, as we indicated in our platform issues 23 years ago, the issue relevant to violence and abuse of our women and girls. Well, that situation is right about now really off the hook, as they say. The murder, rape, molestation, etc., of Black women and girls is just unbelievable all over the country. And unfortunately, there's not a lot being said or done about it. As a matter of fact, you don't really hear that much at all, particularly in comparison to what's really going on. And so, family, we're here now to make certain that that changes. So, let's begin. Tonight, by the way, of course, some of you are familiar with the fact that October is recognized as National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Well, with what's going on with Black women and girls right now, we're declaring that like a state of emergency. That's where it's at right now. We're calling it a state of emergency, and actually we began calling it that way back in February, and even before then, but in February we literally went to Chicago. We were scheduled to go to Memphis and other cities to begin putting this project, this program in place. Unfortunately, Corona had some other ideas, and so we had to kind of put some of that on hold, but we nevertheless stayed focused and, of course, continued to do the work to build what we knew we had to build. And so here we are now, ready to move forward, ready to really make certain that we not only lessen the kinds of violations that our women and girls are experiencing. And by the way, family, we know that this has been a 400-plus year situation. And that's some of the information that we're going to begin to share with you and others, because we want people to know. You know, again, you have to know the history, the origin of certain things. And so unlike any other group of people, Black women and girls have a very unique kind of situation, unfortunately. And that unique situation is, of course, we were kidnapped and brought here. Of course, some of our people were already here, and so those that are already here still got the same treatment, okay? So we're not really differentiating it beyond a certain point. Once these people decided they wanted to enslave us, anyone that looked like us, that was it. So all this stuff about, well, you know, people were already here in terms of our data. But what did that mean? For real? Did they get treated any differently? The only ones that got treated differently was the one that the slave owners, for lack of a better terminology, decided that they were going to treat different. And that had nothing to do with whether or not you were born here or not. Okay? They just had it in their minds that they were going to do what they were going to do, and they did. Point being, this issue of violence and abuse is something that is 400 years plus in the type of way that it is as it pertains to our women and girls. And no other group of women can say or relate to what I'm talking about except our women and girls, our people. So this is why we have to initiate our own programs, our own solutions, our own realities and tactics, et cetera, as to how we're going to go about in dealing with this. Now, during the course of this month, we're going to give you some pretty graphic kind of stuff, family, because unfortunately, we've learned that's what it takes for people to do something. They have to see and or hear stuff that is just, you know, speakable almost or unbelievable or whatever. We're going to give, during Million Women March Week, we're going to give history. For example, the father of gynecology, meaning who was being tested on for certain procedures, for certain other kinds of investigative work on the body, on the anatomy. Do you know that history? So we're going to introduce, I was talking to a colleague of mine, and we were talking about people like Harriet Robinson? The brother was telling to me about a newer scholar that is now doing some work around, you know, the history of violence and abuse of our women and girls. And so we're going to connect these dots. That's the point. We want to begin to connect the dots so that we can literally share the information about what is going on, what has gone on, and certainly what is presently going on with the issue of violence and abuse. Now, again, we're not just talking about murder, and we will, particularly now as we see the situation with Breonna Taylor. It is very clear now that our women are also being murdered by police, which, of course, we knew with Sandra Bland, Rakia Boyd, and others. But we have to also talk about from whence this behavior comes as it pertains to our communities, our families. And again, we dare say that violence begets violence, meaning being brought here, being tortured, being raped, all those things has precipitated a behavior. And so we now have to address all of this realistically. So my point is that we're getting ready to get in contact with the National Association of Black Psychologists, of Black Psychiatrists, and other kinds of counseling and other things that now have to be put in place to deal with some of the issues both directly and, you know, again, cause and effect. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about tonight, family, with this special edition. Again, the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. In a few minutes, we're going to bring on a brother who was called away this week to go to his niece's home because she was being stalked and was being beaten. And now she's in the hospital. And so she had to go in order to take care of the children while she's recuperating. So my point is that I want everybody to really know and understand that we're not just taking a position of, well, we're just concerned about the sisters. Absolutely, we are, and unapologetically so, by the way. However, it's a family affair. This thing affects all of us. Let's not even talk about the children that this is affecting. So we're going to bring the brother on. I'm just going to say that his name is Brother K for now, because we don't want his identity to be known publicly at this particular time. And so, you know, we're going to keep his identity just at Brother K. He's originally from Ghana, but he's been living in the U.S. for quite a few years. And he'll tell you all about it himself. And he'll tell you about what has happened with his niece and has been happening for many years. And many of our women get into these abusive situations and, for whatever reason, cannot get out. Well, that's why MWM is now moving forward to be able to provide real assistance, real support to our women and girls. Because we know what some of this is about, what some of the entrapments are. We know how women are stuck into relationships because of lack of finances, lack of self-esteem, lack of self-identity, and things of that nature. And so, again, the issue has to be, what are we going to do? And we've had 20 years to not only think about this, but to research it and to get prepared. And so now we're bringing it forward. Before we bring in our brother, again, I'm going to call him Brother K for now. It looks like we have a couple of people that have some comments or thoughts that they'd like to share. And so we're going to give you the opportunity to do so. So, caller, you are at 0630. And so hold on one moment. Let me open up your mic. 0630. Your mic is open, and welcome to the segment of the day.
How are you this evening? I like the show. I've listened about 20 minutes.
Oh, wonderful. And where are you calling from?
Arkansas.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. How did you hear about our program?
I just go through Blog Talk Radio sometimes. So I've been on Blog Talk Radio since 2011, if you can believe it.
Okay. Great.
Yes. The median household income for African Americans in the United States is what? Median household income, according to the Brookings Institute. It's $41,511.
Okay.
Guess what the average income a year in Ghana is?
What?
$2,200.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
have
quite
you donated
a difference.
To any African nation?
Oh, I not only have donated money, I've donated a lot of time and work. And what about you?
Tell me about it.
Well,
tell me about it.
What about you?
I mean, I bought Microsoft Windows 2011, and Bill Gates has given more to the nation of Africa than any individual person in America in world history in the last 10 years. I just want to know about you.
Well, I would think that he would, given the fact that he has the intention to make certain that his vaccines are used throughout Africa and that the people will
be
kind
that,
of tested. Excuse me?
We agree
so
on that.
So if I was trying to do something in that manner, I would make sure that I would look like I was helping people too.
So what is the number one cause of death in Africa today? Is it malaria?
To be honest, you know what I think it is? Really?
Yeah.
Ignorance.
In the nation of Africa, in the continent.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so what's the number one cause of death in African Americans in United States?
You know, ignorance is not limited to what one might think in terms of not knowing something and leaving it at that.
Well, I think
you
there's
know,
a lot of corruption in Africa.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I wonder
so
how
that
happened. I wonder how that happened. I wonder when and how that happened.
How is that?
Do you know?
I mean, I had a guy that stayed across apartments from me He's from Kenya. So he was at Little Rock Air Force Base, and he was a C-130 loadmaster. So the United States has a lot of Air Force, basically fighting Boko Haram, right?
Okay,
so
but that wasn't the question that I asked you. But that wasn't the question
I
asked you.
What's your question?
I asked you, do you know how the corruption that we are now seeing, what's the origin of the majority of that?
That is people who are elected by their representatives, right? Their citizens.
No, that's not
that
the origin.
That then use their natural resources against the will
of
those citizens.
Yeah, that gets closer to it. But if we look at the past couple, let's say decade, which we can actually examine pretty realistically, we see how Europeans went into Africa.
So how many white people are in Ghana? Do you know? What's the percentage of the population in Ghana that are white people?
I don't know the number of white people, but
it's less than,
what I
it's
do
less
know.
Than 2%. I mean, you can Google
okay,
it.
Okay, and that's fine. That's fine. But
so how
reality.
Are white people, the corruption in Ghana, where they average $2,200 a year, what do white people have to
at
do with
this
that?
At this point in time, but surely I know you have to be aware that when England and then the Dutch and – are you familiar with the Nazi
Conference?
It
means
no
difference. No, you want to go to what's called colonization.
Are you familiar with no? Question.
Yeah, that's.
Are you familiar with the Nicene Conference? European country when the European countries met and decided what parts of Africa they would take by force. By the way,
have you heard of the ivory slave trade? Ivory Coast slave trade.
Of course, I've heard of the
where
whole
92% of all Africans were sold into slavery and brought to Brazil. Do you know that?
Oh, really? And who?
Yes. 92% of all Africans were sold by other African tribes into slavery and brought to Brazil.
What scholar are
you
citing for that information?
So
I'm
did white people
you
go
said
to
it.
Africa?
You
and,
said
hold on, did white
you
people go to
it.
Africa and so, conquer African tribes and bring them into slavery? Did they?
They surely did.
Okay, so
absolutely.
Who did that? Name me one. Name me a name.
Give you a name.
Don't hesitate. Don't stutter.
No. First of all, you're not going to make it seem like I don't know what I'm talking about when I already asked
you
a question.
Stuttering.
And what
I
you
asked
said
you a direct,
was,
name
and
me one
you
white person
said,
that went to
and
Africa
you,
and stole
and
enslaved
said,
black people from Africa. Name me one.
And,
I'm just asking you to name me one white person. I could type in Google right now.
Just a moment.
Name me their name
so
I can type it in Google.
That's my point. You're using Google. I'm not. I don't need to use Google. So now, going back to what I asked you.
Using Google.
Going back to
the number one search engine in the world. It's not accurate, I guess.
Exactly. Because most of it is, or a lot of it, shall I say, is Europeans that have contributed to it. And it sounds like the information that you are referencing is European. So if I was going to write or try to rewrite history,
so if people lived
I think
in mud
I would,
huts in
I think
Africa
I would cite,
500
I think
years ago,
I would
and
cite
today
people, as
people
well.
Still live in mud huts in Africa, what is the difference? I mean, tell me how I have anything to do with that here in Arkansas.
Well, let's see now. Have you heard of gunpowder?
Gunpowder.
I'm sure
you
go ahead.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So when you use various kinds of things, just like today they're using different biological warfare, I think
when
people use other kind of destructive measures that other people are not trying to phantom because they're not trying to take over other people's lives like that. but when you take a chemical or some other compound and then you use it in a very destructive manner, not for fireworks, by the way, but to kill people, then we end up with a different type of situation. And if I can remember correctly, and again, I'll have to do Google for this one.
So are we talking about like Somalia and South and Northern Sudan and Boko Haram where they buy AK-47s from Russia?
We're talking about the Dutch. We're talking
so what did
about
the Dutch
England.
Do?
We're
well,
talking about Portuguese. Wait a minute. Stop for a minute. What is your name?
Paul.
Oh, okay. Paul, as in Peter,
ma'am.
Paul, and Mary?
One of the 12 disciples, yes, ma'am.
Disciples.
You know the
of
New Testament.
Who or what?
That's good.
Oh, Peter, Paul, and Mary is the New Testament.
Well, I'm just.
I thought
I'm,
it was
I'm
a rock
saying.
Group.
I thought it was a rock group. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't understand rock and roll,
Paul,
but it's okay. Change the subject.
Listen,
it's all right.
Listen, no, not at all.
So tell me how the Dutch
getting ready to come on. I have a guest.
So tell me how the Dutch.
I know it's hard for you.
Tell me how the Dutch are committing Rwandan genocide right now. Tell me how the Dutch are.
Paul.
Are we talking about the Netherlands, right?
Pay attention.
That's the Dutch. You say Dutch, but that's the Netherlands.
I have a guest that
yeah, go
is
ahead.
Ready
that's
to
fine.
Come on.
Take your time.
And I've kind of wasted
You'll mute
spend
me
a lot of
and
time
catch me
with
off
you.
The show like most liberal leftists do that are black supremacists. But
oh,
go ahead.
There
okay.
you go. That's the Paul I was waiting
you are.
For. Thank
you are. You
so
believe
much.
White people are the reason for poverty. But that's okay. It's
no,
right.
I believe
you said
white
the Dutch,
people
but you didn't
have
in the
historically,
Netherlands.
White people have historically shown
yeah.
their true colors because they
in
have a
way?
History. They have a history.
So I mean, I just told you a country like the United States, African Americans have a median income of $41,511.
Oh, wait a minute. Listen, Paul.
In
listen.
Ghana, it's $2,200.
Hey,
in Ghana
Paul,
has 2% white population.
Monday,
so please
Paul,
tell me how.
Paul.
Yeah, go ahead.
Paul, I know this
you
is
keep
hard
saying
for
my
you.
Name over and over, but
I know,
you're not bringing
I know,
any facts.
Because I'm trying,
just...
to get your, I'm trying to get your attention because I don't agree that's your name.
So how
okay.
does the Rwandan genocide
so
have to do
listen,
anything with
listen,
the Netherlands?
Listen, Linda, listen. That's
okay,
a
Karen,
funny
go ahead.
Video. Karen? Oh, no, that's
no, it's not
definitely
a funny
one
video.
Of your names. That's definitely one of your names.
I thought
In
your
fact,
name was Karen.
That's the people. That's the people who tend to call the police and tell lies. And I think they're like
Breonna Taylor,
totally
who's on videos and photos released by the Minneapolis, where she's holding weapons, saying partners in crime with her boyfriend that opened
really?
Fire on police officers.
When they knocked three times,
there's witnesses.
And is that
there's
the
witnesses that say they knocked three times, the third time
Paul?
They announced they're the police.
Paul,
she was fired from
the
EMT service in 2017, Breonna Taylor was.
Hey,
did
Paul,
you understand
Paul,
that?
Stop, Paul. Is that the justification
so did Breonna
for murdering
Taylor's
her?
Boyfriend
the
shoot at the police first, or did
now?
The police shoot her first?
Is that the new one that you have now, Paul, to justify
no, I'm just,
your behavior?
No, I mean, you can look at it at the Daily Mail. It's an article. I mean, the police
oh,
released
the Daily
all the photos.
Mail. Oh,
they
now
released,
that's a real
yeah, they released
credible.
Their text.
That is such
no,
a
these
very
are, these are their text
credible publication, the Daily Mail.
Yeah, my fault. I'm sorry, yeah.
Paul, yeah,
no,
I mean,
they released
Paul,
their text
okay.
messages.
It's okay.
With photos
it's okay.
of their text.
We're very used to
people call an ounce of marijuana. You understand that, right?
Absolutely.
You two
we're
zips,
very,
two
we're
zips for $930. So that's in his text message.
Attempting to overtalk us or try
no,
to pull additional wool
over facts. You can Google
them.
You can go look them up.
From
you're just telling your opinion.
Mail, the Daily Mail is facts,
oh,
Paul.
I mean, they have photos. No, I mean, you can look it up. It's
the
from
Daily
the police
Mail
department. They released the text. Yes, of the text.
Okay,
yes.
Paul, listen. I really do have to get to
There's
my guest right
testimony
now. But this,
from
this
an African-American
no,
attorney
Paul,
general of,
Paul,
of Kentucky
Paul,
released the witness testimony in the grand
Paul,
jury. You can keep saying my name. I'm bringing
being,
you facts you can't respond to.
You're being unruly.
Hence why
you're
upset.
Unruly.
It's okay you're upset.
You're upset.
No, I'm just bringing you fact
well,
after fact
do
after
sound,
fact that you can't respond to.
Do I sound upset, Paul?
Was Breonna Taylor in a picture with guns with her boyfriend that opened fire on police saying partners in crime?
I have a guess. And
I know you
like want to get to my
I know
guest,
you want
to
mute me and go to your
no,
guest.
No, no,
I understand
listen,
that.
If you would just try to listen for one more, I know it's hard. I know
I mean, you
it's
haven't
hard,
given me anything.
Just try.
You just
try.
Keep saying my
I
name.
You
said my name
back.
21 times.
Paul, I know, because that's what you do with children. You try
but
to get their attention.
But you can't respond. I mean, there's photos of Breonna Taylor holding the gun that shot the cop.
My response is I would like to get you back when there is time to indulge
wanna,
in your nonsense.
There's no need
I
to come back
like
on your
show.
You don't
want
to debate
like
me. You
to
don't want
to
talk
that.
About the facts.
Okay,
you
so
don't want to talk
this is
about
what we're
going
to do, because I have a guest that I need to get to. But, Paul, I'd like for you to come back. I really do.
So the Breonna
like
text
more.
Messages are fake?
I would love
the Breonna
to hear
Taylor
more
text
of your
messages
rankings.
Are fake? Are they
I would
fake?
Like
yes
to hear
no?
more of your rankings. I really would.
So are the
but
Breonna
right
Taylor
now,
pictures
I do
fake?
Have a
yes
guest.
Or no?
Okay, hold on 1 minute.
Did the
hold
police
on
knock
prepared,
on the door and announce,
prepared,
like the witness said, that the police were there? Yes or no?
Oh, you know what? No, I'm not going to be ignorant
Taylor
and try to talk over you. I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to let you talk.
Jail for $5,000 or not.
Okay, are you finished yet? Because I'm not going to talk over
no,
you.
I mean, these are facts. I'm just asking you yes
facts.
Or no.
Who's
you should
facts?
Be able to answer
who's
yes
facts?
Or no, right?
Who's facts?
I mean, they're the text messages. They're pictures of the text messages on their phone.
By who?
They're from their
by
phone.
Who? By
Breonna
who?
Oh, So they're so are the text messages are the text messages real or fake?
Who said
it's from
the
their phone.
The same people that we're going to trust.
Do you believe that green aliens are looking in your window right now, stealing your income?
Oh, my God. Paul.
Do you believe that 2% of white people in Ghana make their median average income $2,200?
Paul.
You believe Louis Farrakhan
visited
God
in
an alien spaceship above the United States of America?
What do that have to do with the cost of tea
in China? I'm asking you facts. These are facts.
No, you're asking me facts. That
no,
is
you're saying obviously
irrelevant.
The text messages are fake.
It's
right?
Irrelevant. It's irrelevant.
You're,
people have a history
the text
of killing our people. That's the fact.
Who? Name me,
okay?
Name me five.
That's the
where,
fact.
Where, name me five
on,
people who didn't resist arrest
ready.
That were killed by
a
white cops.
Hold on.
Name me one.
Hold
name
on.
Me five.
Hold on. I'm going to let
go
someone
ahead.
Else do that for right now so that I can get prepared for my guest. So just stay right there, Paul. Stay right there.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, Granny's my sister. I've got to get ready for my guest. So would you like to talk to Paul? No, you wouldn't like to talk to Paul? Okay,
no,
not
she
a problem.
She won't debate me like you. It's okay.
No, Paul, this is not a debate. A debate
no,
takes
it is
intelligence.
A debate. Anything I ever
no,
say
really
is research on Google,
I'm
Bing,
sitting here,
Yahoo,
I'm sitting
Angel
here
Fire,
getting
any,
prepared
any
for my guests. So if you think
I mean,
that I'm sitting
I just gave you. You said your guest was
you?
From Ghana. I told you Ghana median income is $2,200
yes,
with a population of 2% white people.
Stop flip-flopping.
I mean, I just told you these are facts.
Guess,
you can research them on any search engine.
I know what you told me.
I told you Brianna Taylor is on images
however,
from her phone. I mean, they're not fake images.
However,
did somebody cut the guns into the images of Brianna Taylor holding these guns?
I know what you think. I know you think that what you're
no,
saying
aren't
out
what
of
I
your
think.
Mouth
these are things you can look at.
That
this
I should believe it?
It's the difference.
Really?
You have a disconnect with reality.
Who's reality? Who's reality?
So are the Brianna Taylor images fake?
Who's reality? Okay, I think I've had enough now. I'm going to go to
so
my guest.
So somebody photoshopped
Paul,
the guns in her hand
back.
Where she said partners
I
in crime.
I want you to call back at another time,
no, so you're
time,
saying
okay?
All reality is fake, right?
No, I'm saying
so
I
you
think
believe
that
Louis
you're
Farrakhan
fake.
Visited...
No, I think that you're fake, Paul, and not only do I think that you're fake, I would invite you to come back again when I have time or nothing else to do. And then we can have more of these conversations. But for right now, we've got a lot more important things to do. Oh, that was fun. Okay, moving right along. Did you all enjoy that, family? Wow. Okay. Oh, my God. I was trying to bring you in, sis. That's what I was saying. But he's gone now, so it's okay. I was trying
it's
to bring
you in. It's all right. But, you know, it really is no argument, and we should expect these kind of aggressionist attacks, be it media or any other place, because
oh
things
my
are getting
God.
Tight right now. And if Paul, or whatever the hell his name is, it doesn't matter. If Breonna Taylor was the worst criminal on the planet, if she
That's
was
right.
unarmed at the time the police entered her apartment, their responsibility is to put her in cuffs, put her in the vehicle, and take her to jail and process her, period. Now, Whitey Bulger, one of the largest white criminals on the planet, known to carry a firearm, known to have murdered hundreds of people, was led away in cuffs. John Gotti, known to murder hundreds of people, taken away in cuffs. Sammy the Bull Gravano testified in court that he murdered 35 people, was taken away in cuffs. You just had a plot on the governor in the state of Michigan by 13 crackers. They were led away in cuffs, not bullets. So, Paul, if you're still listening, the next time you call in, she's going to bring me in, and I will deal with you justly. If you want to know what type of slave masters or what the damn name was, look at the money in your pocket from Jefferson to Washington to Lincoln to Franklin. All of those bastards were slave masters. And, yeah, I'll say it. I'll tell you, you in Arkansas, all of you bastards profit off the blood of the enslaved Africans. There would not be a state of Arkansas if it wasn't for black people. In fact, the mere fact that you are able to call into a radio show and speak through a microphone that was given to you by way of a black man. So stay the hell down and keep your mouth closed. I am not Empress Filet. So, Paul, if you're still listening, the next time you call in, I will deal with you. And I got facts on top of so much facts that you would then turn around, look at your very own mother and father, and accuse them of enslavement when I'm done with you.
I say. Well, you know, Sister Keisha, obviously, we could bring as much facts and information. However, the mentality that Paul has will still be the same, regardless. We can give him all the truth in the world. It wouldn't matter. It's a behavior.
It's a mindset.
And so, you know, that I just wanted to see where he was going to continue with what, and I wanted others to hear it as well, because we're totally familiar with all of that. But he is a clear example. And like you said, Sister Keisha, they are definitely surfing through these networks. And he said it. And that's why I wanted to keep him talking so that he could continue to convey various things. And so, again, you know, they're listening to Minister Farrakhan, obviously. Okay.
He's worried about if Farrakhan is on a spaceship. You should have asked him. He's on the same ship as David Icke and Alex Jones. He over there with them.
That's right.
So, yeah, I will destroy you. Like, come on. Don't play with me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that was good. I hope he calls back at another time. I do. I got to get to this brother, though. But,
all right,
love
sis.
It. Love it. Thank all you, right. Keisha. All right, family. We're going to go to my brother, Kay, as I was calling him. We're behind schedule. I should have been disconnected that call, but I just wanted to hear more about, hold on, making sure I got to, okay, there we go. I just wanted to hear more from Paul. You know, I was playing with him, really. That's why I said it was a Paul like in Peter, Paul, and Mary, because I knew that was one of their hippie groups from back in the day. But at any rate, hold on one moment. Let me try to dial up the brother here. Okay, is that it? Nope. Okay, let's see. All right, family, give me a few minutes. Let me bring in our guest. And again, our topic for tonight is going to be, okay, here we go. Let's try this. Our topic for tonight is going to be on the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls, and the types of actions that we now have to begin to implement to address some of this. Hold on, let's see. Okay. Oops. And by the way, Sister Keisha will be hopefully joining us tomorrow when we start talking more about what's coming up next weekend with the conference dealing with the prophecies of the prophets. Okay, wait a minute. 572. Okay. Oh, bear with me, family, trying to get this number in here. And it keeps flickering off on me. So, okay, here we go. Okay. Hopefully this will get us in. All righty, let's see.
Please leave your message for 2-6-7-2-5-7-0-7-0-2.
Okay, let's try that one more time. That did not go through. Let me check that number and see. And again, family, we are focusing on, you know, what some are observing this month as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. But again, when it comes to the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls, we're talking about a day-to-day kind of situation. So, okay. Yeah, greetings to you, Brother Wally. Thank you. Family is tuning in and listening. and letting me know that they're in queue. Hold on 1 minute. Okay, let's try that again. Okay, we're going to try one more time. It is the number. Okay, let's see. Hopefully, it'll get through this time.
Please leave your message for 2672570702.
Okay, well, for whatever reason, that is not getting through. Oh, wait a minute. There he is. Wait a minute. Hold on 1 minute. Oh, shucks. Okay. My apologies. We just clicked somebody off accidentally. All right, family. Well, for whatever reason, I think we've missed Brother K. Brother Wally, if that was you, I just clicked someone off accidentally trying to get through to Brother K. But at any rate, we're going to try to get Brother K back shortly. We'll try one more time. We're going to go back to, I think Sister Keisha's still in queue, so I'm going to go back to her for a moment while I try to text the brother and see if he is available still. We were supposed to get him in like 20 minutes or so ago, so we kind of might have missed him. Sister Keisha, if you'd be so kind as to let folks know about what's coming up next weekend for the two-day conference.
Yes, this is part two of Prophecy of the Prophet. And what you have, family, is over 30 master courses taught by various scholars and professionals, activists from around the globe, different topics and subjects from law to history to activism to martial arts to running a independent African-centered school to starting a business plan and going into business, so many different courses. And this is a great thing because now we have a network that's universal, and this was put together by Brother Alias Kujichakalia and Brother Bomani Mayasa of United Front, put this thing together with those of us who are actually doing work. You have a lot of people who run off with the lips all the time and not doing nothing, holding lecture series and not doing nothing. So
that's right.
We are the workers. These are the worker bees. These are the people who actually put things to pen and paper and put that into action. And so you'll learn about how to run a media platform, how to run a streaming platform, various different things and subjects. So I'm excited. I can't wait. You know, this is the time with Donald Trump, your current president, telling white supremacist groups to stand back and stand by. Now is the time that we need to stand back and stand by and pull ourselves out of what is happening now. You know, these groups, these, if you will, people, if you want to call them people, are out here running amok. The country has gone to hell in a handbasket, and it was before it was that way before Trump got into office, truth be told.
Mm-hmm.
But now things
yes,
are
indeed.
Bubbling up to the surface. It's just like when you have a cold and you don't take care of it within the first 24 to 48 hours, that cold is going to fester into your body, and then it's going to take over, and then the mucus and all of that comes. So that's what we're dealing with right now with these Proud Boys, these Rise Above movements, Boogaloo Boys, and you know, Young Republicans group, and all of these different groups and fascists, all of these Karens out here. And, you know, for those of you who are listening, it's very important that you tune in this next week, 17th and 18th. Go to DTC1.org. The streaming will be absolutely free. But we are asking for donations because we got to take care of our own.
That's right.
This loser in Missouri put his knee on George Floyd's neck. $1 million was raised for him immediately. When Darren Wilson murdered Mike Brown, $1 million was raised quickly. The same with George Zimmerman, care of their own. And here you have a group of scholars and professionals that are coming to you from all over the world, from Africa, from London, from South America and the Caribbean, from here, all over the world, giving you a university that you can watch over and over. Not only that, take the information that's given to you and apply it to what you're doing, right? Some of us, we want to do something, but we just don't know how to start. Don't know how to move, how to connect with people, how to get people to work with you, how to get people to support what you're doing. So you need to go online, the 17th and the 18th, download the stream, pick what courses that you want to take part in or view. And even if you miss them, there's no way you can watch all 30 in 2 days. Go back, watch them again. Ask questions, interact with those who are teaching. So I'm excited. I hope to see all of you there. If you can't join, if you can't be there, you can always send us a dollar. We could definitely need your support. And it will go back into the community. Those of us who collect dollars, put it back into the community. I was just talking with my SWAT sisters. Now we're planning to feed the homeless for the Thanksgiving holiday. So that costs money. So we do our work out here. We don't play games. So I hope to see y'all next week.
All right, all right. Thank you, Sister Keisha. And by the way, family, tomorrow night we will have some of the presenters joining us. Brother Kuji, of course, will be joining us as well and give you all some overviews as to some of what you're going to be hearing and seeing for next week. And again, we're talking about the prophecies of the prophets. And what is that? What does that mean? Well, you know, we have to begin to identify to a greater extent who our prophets are. It's just like with MWM now, we have 20 sister saints. Nobody told us that we, you know, could not name our own saints, and if they did, it wouldn't matter. But the point is, we have to identify the people that we know and understand bring us certain types of information. We have to put them in the categories that we know that they belong in. And so that is what's going to happen next week for 2 days. I mean, as one of the things, certainly it's going to be extremely, extremely powerful and very informational. So we're going to tell you more about it tomorrow night for our regular program. Let's see. In the meantime, what I'd like to also bring to everyone's attention is, if you didn't tune in last night when we did the special edition, Chairman Fred called in. He and, of course, the brother Justin Blake, who is the uncle of Jacob. Now, he, too, will be on our radio program tomorrow, our regular show at 10:30. Brother Justin will be joining us to give us the update on Brother Jacob. And of course, he is now out of the hospital. But, of course, you should know by now what his condition is. But it's a concern for me that we're not even talking about him anymore. So it kind of seems like if somebody's dead, you hear me, Sister Keisha? If somebody's dead, it's like, okay, you get a lot of rah-rah going on through the networks. But the mere fact that he was shot 7 times and is now paralyzed, we're not kind of hearing a lot, but you do know that that does have to go to trial or review or whatever. There's still some decisions that have to be made as to whether or not that cop is going to be charged with anything. That still has to happen. So there still needs to be a lot of attention paid to what's going on with this brother, again, Jacob Blake. And so we're going to talk about that tomorrow night as well. And needless to say, a decision did happen this week in Wisconsin where a 17-year-old, and you know what, I'm going to tell you, it just shows you that this corona thing can really throw you a little off kilter. Because Sister Keisha, I don't know why I didn't remember it for some reason. I mean, it shows you there's something else going on right now, because I remember hearing it, but then at the same time, I couldn't really, like, go right to it in my brain for some reason. But again, a 17-year-old was murdered in February, this past February, by a cop in Wisconsin. And again, you know, there wasn't a whole lot said or done about it, at least not in social media or anywhere else, as I know. But what we do know is that on Wednesday, it was determined that the cop in that particular murder would also not be found guilty or tried or whatever. He was fired, but that was it. He could go somewhere else and get another job. So certainly the folks in Wisconsin wasn't feeling that, and they kind of turned some stuff up and out, which, again, I don't know if folks heard about it, because I didn't hear about it until Chairman Fred called in last night, he and Brother Justin, to bring it to our attention, because Jacob Blake's father was there with the mother of the brother that was killed. Brother Cole is his last name. I mean, what is going on that some of this stuff makes the news and some of it doesn't? There's something going on with that as well. So at any rate, tomorrow night we will talk more about that and also begin to introduce what some of our suggestions, proposals, solutions are. To digress for one moment or to go back to the issue of our women and girls, one of the things that we began to do on our end with MWM is we're working on a national hotline. Now, if other people can do that, as Sister Keisha just said, when are we going to support our own so that we're able to develop our own apparatuses? Meaning, having our own hotline. Now, already what MWM does is we have something called the Ebony Amber Alert. And Amber is not spelled A-M-B-E-R, by the way. It's A Million Black Women Rising. That's the acronym for it, our Amber. And we call it Ebony Amber Alert. And what happens whenever we get a report of a missing child, and of course a missing black woman in particular and black girl, but missing children as well, we send that out to our networks, either through email and or texting. It doesn't matter where we send it, because we know that kidnappers take children and women out of the state that they were initially in. So, you know, it behooves us to keep that in mind and send that information out nationwide. And I can tell you, we have had at least three positive results in assisting in that process. Okay. And so once again, we're demonstrating a proactive kind of posture, meaning handling our own business, doing what we know we're supposed to do for our people in our community. So again, for 2021, our objective is to have an active national 24-hour hotline where missing people that are missing that can be reported to our network, not just the local police or whomever, but to our network, so that posters and other things can be put into our communities, you see. That's what responsible black folks have to do in this day and age. And so, you know, we're very committed to making certain that that happens, and we'll tell you more about that as we proceed this month. We have several plans of action to address some of the issues. One other thing before I try one more time to bring Brother K in, state of emergency is what we call our project dealing with the issue of our women and girls. And this week here in Philadelphia, within a two-day period, one 61-year-old sister was doused with some chemical kind of compound that burned her face. I don't know yet if it was, in fact, acid. Someone had said it was acid, but I haven't gotten a confirmation on that. But whatever it was damaging enough to literally, you know, scar her face or, you know, bring injury to her face. The other was a young 19-year-old sister who was murdered, who was actually killed as a result of attempted car hijacks. And so this happened within a 48-hour period here in Philadelphia. These are just some of the reports that we're getting on a daily basis, either missing, rape, murder, beatings. Lastly, on the issue of exploitation, black women, we've got to do something. We cannot sit back and let the kind of representation that is being put out there about us by other black females
and just let it go like that and there not be a clear national voice. And so with that said, for those who saw Saturday Night Live last week, again, thank you, Sister Manera, for sending me that. The female that was the guest on Saturday Night Live did a performance. And the lyrics to the song was something about being nasty and some other kind of stuff. And then towards the end, it was all this other stuff that was social justice oriented. And it talked about how black women have to be protected and defended. And then it threw in Breonna Taylor and all this stuff. While right before all of that, the whole routine was gyration, grinding, and other stuff. So my point is, our younger sisters are seeing that and thinking that, okay, they're speaking out about injustice, so it must be okay to have this other behavior. And so we have to ask ourselves as black women, where are we in this? Now, as Sister Keisha mentioned, we do stuff in our communities. But in a larger picture, in a bigger platform, what messages are we intentionally, consistently making available to the young girls? And that, again, is where MWM comes in that, because we're national. We always have been, always will be. And so we need our sisters to take full positive advantage of the fact that we have a historical significance and use that historical significance as leverage, because that's what other women are doing. Okay, and so again, when we see people speaking out about Breonna Taylor or the coonery of what's his name, Cameron or whatever, where are our RBG sisters or more conscious or more cultural inclined sisters and scholars? Where are they at? We're not hearing them. Why? We've got to change that. It's up to us. Now, of course, we don't expect the commercial media to do anything. We do not expect that. However, we've got to now do it. Okay, so with that said, the next week, we're setting up those kind of apparatuses to make certain that we're able to get these messages out to a greater extent about what some of our women, those who literally intentionally are fighting for our women and girls and our people, period. Okay, so again, the next week we're going to be having those kinds of dialogue. And, of course, Million Women March Week will begin October 19th through the 25th. And so tomorrow night we'll also be telling you more about that as well. Sister Keisha, your mic is still open. You have any thoughts or comments before we close out?
I just want to say, you know, we those of us in media, our responsibility to make sure our voices are told, and we have to trample the commercial media. So one of the things that I'm very proud of is that we, in this time, whether you agree with the platform or not, there are so many black voices out here that are giving the conscious women a platform that they never had before. And we have to push that. And there is a strategy in doing that. And, well, I'm going to save that for October 17th and 18th. I hope y'all tune in, because you're going to get it then. Like I said on our show, Thorough Black Talk, we coming in with straight solutions. Straight solutions.
That's right.
Quick, fast, and
that's
hurry.
Right.
Because if the three of us, Ted, Ashe, and myself, can garner so many people on the street and surround us, we can give that insight to everybody else on how to do it. Because I guarantee you, if it's a situation with me, God forbid, if it's a situation with me involving law enforcement or anything else, there wouldn't be a need for to say, hold on, we got to gather around Sister Keisha. That will be a gift. So you can go back to the community I grew up in to where I currently live. It wouldn't be a problem. And so we have to make that the standard. You have to develop your voice, your platform within your community, because your community will carry you forward. That's the way it goes, and that's what's missing in the movement now. It's
that's
always
right.
been
yeah.
those of us
mm-hmm.
who come from the neighborhoods, and it was the
mm-hmm.
people that pushed
mm-hmm.
us forward, not anyone else. You know what I'm saying? Like when I was with
mm-hmm.
United African Movement, that came to me via the request from Leola Maddox and the elder
mm-hmm.
brothers in that organization, like Mike Graves, like Harold, like James Bryson, you know, like so many others who pushed that forward. So it wasn't me saying, I'm coming in here and I'm taking over and this is what it's going to be. That never works. That never works at all. And we're doing it wrong, a lot of us. We're doing it wrong. And tune in 17 and 18 next week, and we'll lay it all out for you on how we do it, plain and simple.
All right. So, again, family, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow night. You'll get some greater insight. The only thing I'm going to add to that, though, Sister Keisha, is, you know, different cities, as you know, have different operations. When I go to Atlanta or when I go to Chicago, I get much love. I mean, for real, from the street to the black business or whatever. And what I've come to realize and pay close attention is, when you look at certain cities, for example, Philadelphia, which I will always make mention of, we used to have a black community. We used to have and I mean all over the city there was a black community, right? We had that. However, it's important that we really know what happened. And so myself and others have really began to do the research to kind of see how did that fall apart? Because we did have something like what you just mentioned. However, that doesn't exist now. And one of the things that you mentioned was the United African Movement. See, that was people who wanted self-determination. So you had a unit of folk that were kind of on a similar same page. Here in Philly, for example, that is few, far, and in between now. The whole notion or idea of self-determination is almost foreign because the influx of getting grant money was really pushed hard in the city and people bought into it, and that's pretty much where they're at. So lastly on that perfect example, 20, 30 years ago, we had roughly 4 or 5 independent schools. Black independent schools. We have one now. You see? So there was a real regression that occurred over these years. Most of the schools became charter because the system said, well, listen, you know, you let us, you bring your ideas and all of your stuff and put it under the regular school system, and that way you don't have to worry about the financial part. And they did. So that whole mentality, happened. And remember, another perfect example, this is a city where a bomb was dropped. And there was no real response to that. There were a few meetings for a while. There was conversations. There was a commission put together and so forth. But generally speaking, the black community kind of sat back and did not do much in that regard. So my point is that whenever I go to different cities, I literally kind of, you know, evaluate or observe how they function. And I'm telling you, Philly is a real interesting monster. And again, that's where the Boule was started. So they have, you know, they're special here.
Yeah.
We're committed to work with it. We're committed to work with it. And to address it, and unfortunately, the strategies and the tactics in dealing with it is a little different from what I found in other cities, you know. So and it's all good because that's what warfare is.
You have to map out the battle
strategy.
And then
you got to look at the fact. You got to look at the fact too that a lot of people have scattered because of this gentrification, which is also warfare.
Yes.
They have scattered and they have pretty much infiltrated, if you will, everything that we originally had. And that's why I talk so much about these white aggressionist groups, because I see, in particular here in New York, how they do it, when they do it, and why they do it. And unfortunately, you know, I love Professor James Moore. I always use this quote that he gave. And I think it was in Hidden Colors 1. I think that's where he said it. But he said that our humanity is our detriment. We are human with everybody. And living under this system, in particular the religious structure of this system, has caused us to look at ourselves as the enemy looks at us. And we have to figure out, see, it's like a mind game. You have to understand that you're dealing with people who are mentally ill. And you have to go into this mind field and talk mental ill with the mental ill. That's how it has to work. And get them to understand and to see that if you don't attack what is before you, you too are going to be in shackles, the same way your ancestors have been. As those Proud Boys said, you know, let this civil war begin. Let this civil war begin. The first civil war was over our label. This civil war is over our culture. Over our culture. Right now in New York City, you have a COVID outbreak in various Hasidic communities. Now, they shut down the West Indian Labor Day Carnival, which normally is about a million people on the parkway.
Right, that's right.
Shut it down.
I've been there.
Crown Heights, Brooklyn. Crown Heights, formerly known as Crow Heights, because there was so much black wealth in that area during the Reconstruction period. And now you have these Hasidics who are in there. They have now shut down the carnival for the Caribbean community. And just this week, I think I sent you video also, just this week, they out there in the hundreds of thousands breakdancing. Now, we invented that. I got a video of the Hasidic breakdancing in the street, the DJ on the ones and twos. I'm dead serious, family. And if y'all think this is a game, it's not. And the sad part is we don't understand the difference between allies and friends. We don't have no friends. Dr. Clark taught us that. We have no friends. And when you have these people who talk in the black and brown coalition, there is no black and brown coalition either.
That's right.
Because I think I sent you footage also. You know, one of the chairpersons of the Proud Boys is a Cuban.
Yes, I saw that. The Puerto Rican, wasn't it?
Cuban. And he's walking around shouting what? Yehuru. Yehuru, that's us. This is a culture battle, and because we don't understand that, we've let it happen right before our eyes. So, family, you know, I would implore you tune in next week, 17th and the 18th. Go to dtc1.org, download the stream. We're going to discuss all of this. We're going to come with the solutions because I've been trying to tell people about these groups since 2015. They've been mounted up since 2015, exactly when Trump said to stand back and stand by. The moment he said that, a pattern went up on Amazon for sale. Their uniform went up on Amazon for sale. This comes from the top when it comes to white aggression. This is not rednecks. This is not no blue cloud stuff. They are given orders and money straight from the wealthy class of this nation. So, and abroad. Britain is the same way. Mm-hmm. Their white aggressionist groups, they are funded by the elite there. So Trump just showed his hand. If you're playing a game of cards, a game of spades, he just showed his hand. That's all. That's all. So we just got to get to work and work hard.
With another question on that same note, and is this, because, of course, we're not going to go deep into it tonight, but with this idea of voting, again, we'll table that till tomorrow, but I do want to kind of get your response on this. So why aren't our people being told or taught about the Electoral College? I'm kind of just trying to get a feel as to, there's a lot of push on vote, 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 but not information that enables people to understand the whole bigger picture of this, about how this president is actually elected, supposedly.
Well, our people don't know about the Electoral College the same way they don't understand about the census and how it works. We weren't taught that. And unless you seek it, unless you have it in your mind to think what these things are, then you don't know and you don't care. You just going like trained mice in a cage.
Mm.
Go into a booth, push a button, and come on out. That's it. No, you ask the average person. You ask the average person, who is your local municipal district leader? And what is that role? They can't tell you. We weren't trained that way. If you tell people, like you have all of these advertisements all over TV and radio telling you to take the census because it brings dollars into your community and you can do more things,
right?
Well, that's not the truth. The truth of the matter is the census is taken so that you can get more congressional seats. That's why the census is taken. The only reason black people should take the census, in my opinion, is for generational research. Because a lot of people, a lot of us don't even know our own family histories. You don't know where your grandmother came from, her mother came from, where your granddaddy people came from. The average person don't know these things. This is very close to us. So you're not going to seek out anything beyond that. And for those of you who are listening, the reason why I became an activist since the age of 13 was because it's personal for me. I don't want my family to go through what my ancestors went through. And so as I fight for my family, I'm fighting for you. Because my family can't win and live in a diseased environment, because that diseased environment will engulf them and take them over. So I have to make sure that the environment is also clean. So as I fight for myself and my family, I fight for my people. You have to put it in that context. And when you're fighting for your family, you're going to want to know all of the details involved so that you know how to protect your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter, or whoever. In any battle, if you're fighting for your children, you want to know all the pieces to the puzzle so that you can direct them on a straight and narrow and win that war. So as I'm telling you all, make it personal. Make it personal. And use your character as your guide, I'm telling you. Character takes you a long way. A long way, and a lot of us don't get that. Some of us ego trip, and I don't understand where that comes from. I guess it's my upbringing. You know, me and my daughter, we were just discussing my grandmother earlier today. My grandmother, my father's mother, she would barely speak above a whisper. But she commanded the family. I never saw her raise her voice. I never saw her even move at a fast pace. But she made one thing she always told us, your family is your number one asset. And so that always stuck with me. And so when I went out outside of my home every day as a young girl, as a teenager, as a young woman, and now as an older young woman. When I leave my house, I'm a representative of them. You have to understand that. With that comes humility. Our ancestors had to be humble in order to work with one another, coming from different tribes, not speaking the same languages, couldn't speak the language that they supposedly were, but then forced. And the first thing they used was a religious text. Belief is very powerful with African people. Your mother can tell you something, and you will believe it until the day you die, until she tells you otherwise. Two sisters had a YouTube channel, and they were talking about going shopping, right? When one of the sisters said, I don't care what it is, I have to buy four tomatoes. And so the other sister said, why you got to always buy four tomatoes? She said, that's the way my mother did it. That's the way I did it. I have to buy four tomatoes. Though I don't need four, I just buy four tomatoes. So we have a belief system that is very endearing to us. And if you believe that the United States is the greatest power, if you believe that they have the greatest military power, if you believe that nobody can beat them, if you believe that they have the greatest political system, you are going to fall in line until somebody tells you otherwise. So as I move about my day and I have conversations with people, the way I'm dialoguing with you now on this program is not the way I dialogue on these streets. You wouldn't believe Sister Keisha how she move on these streets. But I engage in a way that they understand. And we go a long way in conversation. When I ride public transportation, when I first moved into this neighborhood, I met the women going, you know, to work every day. And we started talking. And all the children were so unruly, a lot of them were very unruly. As we begin to converse with one another, and they understood how I moved, it changed drastically. And now these young kids, when I first moved into this neighborhood, are now old teenagers and young men and women. And they always say, how you doing? What's going on? How you feeling? You know, they didn't know me from a hole in the head. But you have to do that, family. We have to get back into being engaging. The women in our family knew everything that was happening on the block. Everything. They knew who kids was doing what and who kids was bad. And they would tell you, you know, you'll bring a friend to the house and they'll look at you, your mother, your grandmother, and say, oh, that ain't your friend. Watch that one. That's not your friend. We got to get back to that. Right now, today, the average person, Dr. Filet, does not even know their own neighbor. What their neighbors do for a living. I know all my neighbors on this block, all of them. They do, what they did, how many kids they got. If they got grandkids, I know everybody on this block. Everybody. And I made that a priority when I first moved over here. Now, my husband, on the other hand, if you ask him what's the name of the neighbor to the right, he can't tell you. He go, oh, that lady over there, the one you always talking to. He don't know the name. That's your job. You understand what I'm saying? We have to get back to that. And so the quicker we do that, the quicker we win this war. I don't have to convince those who know me that we got to get serious about what's happening in this world. I don't have to convince them. We're all on different intellectual levels. We all move about life differently, but they are very clear, very clear. So we have to be that. We have to be that to join the truth again, sisters. We got to get back into these streets. We got to get back into our communities. We got to start knowing who our neighbors is. We got to start helping one another again. We used to have rent parties back in the day when somebody's struggling. You might not have to do this again because now a lot of us are losing our jobs, now more than ever. We don't know when things are going to return to somewhat normalcy as far as having an income coming in and out. So things are changing drastically. That's why my SWAT sisters and I were on the phone earlier today to get out here and get to the Staten Island family, because there's so many black people and families who are sleeping on the Sabbath. So we got to get out there and feed them. So when I ask you for a donation, this is what it goes to. When I needed to get, there was a dance group, black girls in Rochester, New York. I don't know these girls. I never met them before. I never heard of them before. But through social media, their director reached out to a company that I was doing business with, and they needed shoes. They needed boots for their dance routine. Yeah, I went to them crackers and I said, look here, I need y'all to donate such and such and such and such. They don't got to know my business. Sister, stop telling them your business. Y'all talk too much, especially on the job. Take what you want. Give it to them. Yeah, I'm robbing from Peter to pay my people. Yeah, I will go to them and get that for you so that you can move forward. I'll do that. When we was with the Freedom Retreat and raffles need to be sold, yeah, I'm going to sell them to all these crackers. All of them. So sometimes, right, family, we got to understand warfare. So I hope y'all tune in the 17th and the 18th, DTC1.org, because we're going to get into this real deep. We're going to come out with some real solutions. I'm not going to tell you nothing that I have not tried myself. I have not lived by myself. From executives to VPs to doctors to police officers to correction officers to dope dealers and prostitutes, they know my name out here. So you have to have that same connection. So tune in, DTC1.org, 17 to 18. Don't miss it. It's going down.
All right, family. You heard it right here. It's that Sister Keisha in the house. And, of course, tomorrow night, as we indicated, we're going to give you more information about what's going on with the conference for next week. And I, too, will be doing presentation. And, again, bringing forward the first global movement for women and girls of African descent. We're going to be sharing with you some of the strategies that we've now developed to bring forward some of the concepts, the energy, the vision of some of our ancestors, particularly in this case, some of our sister ancestors who we know not only did the work of, you know, what our mothers and daughters and so forth have done, but also in terms of being warriors. We're going to talk more about that next weekend as well. All right. We're going to close this session out, family. Again, I want to thank Sister Keisha for filling in. Unfortunately, we kind of lost our connection. I got a little sidetracked with Paul. Oh, my gosh. So this is number two. What was the first one, Sister Keisha? Oh, Zachary. That was the other one. Zachary. So now we have a Paul.
We'll get some more. Man, you'll get some more.
Listen. I'm sure. I am so sure, you know, and like you said, right about now, they're being flushed out. You know, they feel this comfort zone now that Trump has given them the green light to just do whatever, and so we're seeing it. But, family, again, I want you all to realize that, you know, we're in a time now where we have to up the ante and also begin to not only, as Sister Keisha said, you know, bring in some of our traditions, some of the things that we know work, have worked, but also be real clear that we're in a very serious time period and we have to apply, you know, our tactics and our techniques applicable to what we're actually dealing with. I know oftentimes here, Sister Keisha, talk about the family situation. I always say, wow, you know, I wish that I was blessed in that kind of way, and others, because I talk to a lot of other sisters and brothers, and unfortunately, you know, the family unit in this country in particular has just been, you know, dismantled to a great degree, and so, you know, our extended families really have become essential for us. But again, the idea is building that family unit that is so important, and that's why I really appreciate entities like the BLA that were involved in the Black Liberation Army. You as a family, It was a very unique, a very committed, and a very serious family structure. And so these are the kind of things that on my end, I always have to emphasize that some of us just were not blessed for many different reasons, as we all know, living in this country, to have a certain kind of structure. But you can right. find it. You can. That's right. the point I'm making.
It's a brother. It's a brother that I know. You know, he did 27 years in prison. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's home now, and he does very well for himself. But anyway, we connected. He found me on social media, actually, and we reconnected. And he said, you know what, Key? He said, everybody called me Key from where I grew up at. But he said, you know what, Key? He said, no matter what happened back in the days between you or anybody, he said, one thing for certain, you never threw dirt on nobody's name. No matter what happened, when it was done, it was done. You never threw dirt. He said, and I loved you for that. He said, you just had the greatest character. And he said, I wish he wouldn't have done that on social media. And I think I sent it to you. He said, if anybody think about touching her, you're dead. You're dead. But that's just character. And like you said, you can build your own family. You know, these are people that I grew up with. And we consider ourselves a family. We consider ourselves a family. So, you know, tune in next week, family. DTC.
All right, family. So we're going to end this session. Hopefully I'll be able to get Brother K with us in the very near future, because the story that he has to share with you is very, very important. Again, just to give you a brief on that, his niece, was being stalked by someone that she was seeing, and unfortunately it got even deeper to just being stalked. He literally did attack her, put her in the hospital. And now the brother is, you know, looking after the children. But there's a lot of other little pieces that go to that. And again, it's not to blame anyone per se. It is to make certain that we do understand some key dynamics, because this is what's really going on in many of our communities all over the country. And until we really start addressing some of these issues, certain things are just not going to change. I mean, it's a litany of different things that are affecting us, needless to say. But, you know, we've got to deal with these things now, because these next generations, if we don't do it now, can you imagine what they're going to be dealing with in the future? And so going back to that one point, Sister Keisha mentioned, and I say this to sisters in particular, because we have to raise this question, and that is, what is it now to be a Black woman? We're going to have to bring some clarity to that. What are we saying is the, not just the characteristics or the essence or the fundamentals, but what do we believe or feel should be the actual applications of what we call a Black woman? Because there's got to be something more than just the biology of it all. And if we're saying that, what is that? So Sister Keisha gave some, I think, very good examples of character or of other types of applications of things that are indigenous to Black women. But now today, what are we saying as a Black woman? Because obviously there's some confusion. And we need to begin to differentiate one from the other when it comes to how we're moving in certain kinds of ways, productively, progressively. So that's going to be another one of the conversations and dialogues that we have. And just, again, to bring clarity, you know, again, it's not to unnecessarily, say something out of the way about any particular entity of us, but one thing we definitely need to get clear, and that is that there should be some do's and don'ts. There should be some do's and don'ts. And for those that do certain things or don't do certain things, that needs to be clearer, because it is too ambiguous now. It's too confusing. And so we need to get to some basics and some fundamentals. So again, during the course of this month, that's one of the conversations or some of the conversations that we're going to have. Again, we're going to invite our sisters to join us for Million Women March Week. For those who are members, you will now have the privilege of voting on some of what our next steps are. Our next five sister saints, our next, some of our operations that we'll be presenting now, including, by the way, you'll be meeting a brother who holds two or three patents, and I don't remember exactly how many, that deals with growing our food. This is some of the work that we've been able to accomplish because we recognize that without certain fundamentals, we can't survive, period. And food is one of them. So we are blessed to now connect with the brother who has created a formula or a capability for us to grow our own food, both outside and indoors as well, because his application focuses on the soil. And so his research has produced the fact that the soil, particularly in the U.S., has become depleted. Therefore, it is not producing quality food because the nutrients in the soil and what they're using to grow the food is not adequate. So even if you're getting fresh food, a lot of times it is still void of some of the actual nutrition that you think you're getting. So anyway, we're going to be bringing him on in about a week as well. We're going to do a whole day talking about what some call food deserts, also food security or insecurities, but perhaps more importantly, our capability to produce our own food ourselves in our communities. And so that's what we're really moving towards now, to become more self-sufficient and the capability to not only survive, but to thrive. With that said, family, we're going to move forward. Again, we appreciate you all. We thank you all, and we will be back tomorrow night, this time 10:30 p.m. Again, we'll be talking with Brother Justin Blake, who is the uncle, of course, of Brother Jacob Blake. And I think Chairman Fried might be joining us again tomorrow night as well. But again, we're going to further some of the conversations that we had tonight as well. I want to thank Sister Keisha again for jumping in. I wish what's-his-name hadn't hung up when he did, because she's getting his behind. And that's a beautiful thing. We all have areas of expertise, and so obviously that's one of Sister Keisha's getting in these white folks' behinds. I love it. But at any rate, we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of modern Hotep. But remember, there can never be any real peace until there's truly ma'atic justice, okay? And I'm saying that for a reason, which we'll elaborate on at another time. And as Sister Keisha know, when you hear us say if there's no justice, there's no what, Sister Keisha?
No damn peace.
I know that's right. All right, then, we will talk to you all tomorrow. And remember, Homoja Tradicenda, together we shall win. One final note, we'll be in D.C., of course, on Monday. It is now known as Indigenous Peoples Day. That is a way, of course, of, you know, just deflecting and getting away from the European idea of so-called Columbus. We'll talk more about that tomorrow as well. And then after Monday, we'll bring you a report because, again, there is a difference between allies and friends. And if y'all tuned in the other night when the brother said, you know, was talking about somebody being my friend, I made it very clear. I don't have friends. I have brothers, sisters. I have associates, allies, comrades, etc. I don't have friends. I had that as a child. At any rate, till next time, peace out.